Greetings.
We're here for the final discussion item today, the Eastern Oregon / Siskiyou rule review update. This is an informational item, but I think it's also obviously teeing us up for decisions soon down the road. So,
All righty. Good afternoon, Chair Imeson, members of the board, State Forester Daugherty. For the record, I am Lena Tucker, Private Forest Division Chief. Joining me today are Mark Ann Allen, Manager for Forest Health and Monitoring, and Terry Free, our Monitoring Coordinator. In November of 2016, you approved the implementation of our monitoring strategy with a specific request to work on the review of riparian protections in Eastern Oregon and the Siskiyou region. So today we have an overview of that continued progress, and we appreciate the input from the conservation community, the landowner and operator community, the board advisory committees, the Eastern Oregon Regional Forest Practices Committee, the Southwest Regional Forest Practice Advisory Committee, as well as the Committee for Family Forest Lands. They all rolled up their sleeves and they worked well with us, with staff, to put together the stakeholder survey. So we look forward to your discussion on this topic today, as your feedback will help us make any final adjustments, and we'll bring this information back to you in March for the final decision. So before we dive into the topic, just want to make sure we're all on the same page and understanding the context of why we conduct effectiveness monitoring. As you'll recall from this morning, I told you that we missed our normal monitoring update in September due to that meeting being cut short for fire season. So just kind of a quick overview. The practice of monitoring is an essential component of assessing the outcomes of rules as part of adaptive management, and it's mandated by statute, rule, and policy. So the essence of OAR 629-635-0110 states that monitoring and evaluation of the water protection rules are necessary because of the innovative approach taken in the rules. Monitoring and evaluation are needed to increase the level of confidence of all concerned that the rule will maintain and improve the condition of the riparian vegetation and waters of the state over time. Monitoring shall determine the effectiveness of the rules to meet the goals of the Forest Practices Act, as well as the rules' workability and operability over time. We consider monitoring as the quality control part of our overall process. When we discussed the monitoring strategy back in November of 2016, the board recognized that the process for developing the salmon, steelhead, and bull trout riparian rules did not address riparian protections in the Blue Mountains, Eastern Cascades, and the Siskiyou georegions. So during that meeting, we provided a proposed modification of our monitoring strategy to show the option of adding in the work for the Eastern Oregon Siskiyou region, looking at the monitoring question development work in context with the rest of our existing monitoring work products. So essentially, to fit in the work for the developing the monitoring question for Siskiyou and Eastern Oregon, we have limited the expansion of our compliance audit, so our compliance monitoring program, which is the Forest Practices Act compliance audit. We're not going to do a great big expansion on that, so we're limiting that. And then the other thing, we're just pushing out the final products for the Ripstream project probably another year. And so that's how we kind of looked at our workload to fit all that in. So as the first step in implementing the monitoring strategy, you directed the department to prioritize the development of monitoring questions relating to streamside protections in Eastern Oregon and the Siskiyou, make it a part of our implementation, a part of our monitoring strategy, and estimate the timelines and the resources that were needed to address the question for various levels of study rigor, work with stakeholders to inform the department and the board. And for this point, I think we're ready for Terry to walk you through the results of our information gathering. We have a lot more robust material since we reported to you back in July. So Terry will walk you through the gathering of that information and the synthesis, and Margan will wrap up with the associated decision-making products that we have for you.
Thanks, Lena. I want to begin by acknowledging the solid work of other monitoring unit staff in this effort, John Lane, John Hawksworth, and Daniel Olson. Additionally, I appreciate the solid vision of Mark Gann, who organized information in a format that was easier for everyone to understand. The three georegions in this slide, shaded in gray, constitute the georegions of interest to the board for this process. By beginning with end in mind, we summarize the upcoming board decisions. These decisions encompass the elements of a monitoring question upon which the board will decide, which include where the review should focus, including which georegions, Siskiyou, Eastern Cascades, Blue Mountains, and which stream types, fish, non-fish, domestic, and which stream sizes, small, medium, large. Which goals to address, including water quality, healthy riparian forests, fish habitat, and wildlife habitat. This will be further focused on one or more of the following subtopics: stream temperature, other water quality standards, active riparian management, shade, large wood recruitment, fish habitat, and what type of scientific information to use in a literature review that would be either a final product or could help hone a field study. A final aspect on which the board will decide is the high-level approach and associated time frame for conducting the study. Per the board's direction, we sought input from stakeholders in determining these question elements via an online survey. To encourage participation in the survey, we conducted outreach to over 50 potentially interested parties and their associates. We had an online survey of 16 questions, some of which were multiple choice, some of which were narrative for respondents to provide additional details. The survey was open to everyone who received the email. Given this approach, the survey is not a statistically valid sample of the general population, and it was possible for a given group to have many members take the survey. We are therefore most interested in the range of responses rather than what received the most responses. To help interpret results from the survey respondents, we asked them to self-select a group they felt best represented them, such as tribes, private non-industrial landowners, conservation, and other. We also sought stakeholder input via written comments so that folks could express themselves in a different way than the survey. For the next few slides, we will show example bar charts that illustrate how members of the different groups responded. Because there are so many groups responding, there is much complexity displayed in the charts. Let's please focus on the big picture while noticing this complexity. There are different ways of interpreting the data to extract the range of responses, including what received the most responses, simple majority, looking at the bigger picture of majority, removing the groups that had the most people responding, and assessing the narrative responses and written comments that are not explicitly described in these bar charts. If we look at this bar chart, we see the self-selected groups represented by different colors, with a count of respondents who selected the various monitoring purposes as the highest priority. And so this is an example of one of the bar charts and walking this through all the way. In general, we see that the respondents from a particular group had different priorities and span most of the range of monitoring purposes. If we look at it one way, water quality received the most selections, with healthy streamside forests receiving a very close second. We also note the other category that we will touch on in a moment. Since we want to consider what happens if we remove the groups that had the most survey respondents, this chart illustrates data as the previous slide, but includes only groups with less than 10 respondents, i.e. removing conservation, private industrial landowners, and other. Here we see that healthy streamside forests receive the most selections. Some of the questions allowed for adding a narrative to further clarify their selections. We present examples of these responses here and note a huge range of responses, such as design monitoring to determine the effectiveness of the Forest Practices Act. Wastes from illegal mining should be the focus. I find current streamside protections to be adequate. I believe that the findings of the Ripstream study are applicable to these areas and could be considered the minimum effect of current buffer widths in these areas. These stream sizes are all very important, ranking them seems to diminish the value of important natural resources. So you can see there's quite a range of responses. So to show an example of taking information presented on the previous slides, we consolidated the survey responses and written comments into six questions with various themes, illustrated in the left-hand column of this table. The basis for each for developing each of these themes is listed in the middle column, and how these themes result in selecting the monitoring purpose element for the question, information about which was presented in the previous slides. So for the no action theme, is based on some narrative responses and results in no effectiveness study being conducted at this time in these georegions. The simple majority theme is based on straight counting of selections and focuses on the water quality goal. The overall majority theme is based on the bigger picture of selections and focuses on both water quality and healthy streamside forests. The domestic water theme is based on which stream type received the second most selections and focuses on water quality. Holistic theme is based on the narrative responses and focuses on water quality and healthy streamside forests. Finally, the Siskiyou theme is based on written comments and focuses on water quality. The next six slides illustrate all the elements of each question theme discussed on the previous slide. So again, the no action, some stakeholders said there's no problem, and thus the no action theme says there will be no effectiveness monitoring study at this time in these georegions. The next five slides have the same design as this slide, the georegions of the question theme illustrated in the map on the left, which is the Blue Mountains for the simple majority theme. The box on the right, the name of each question element is underlined, so type, stream size, goal, focus, and information to use. And the specific choices for the element are circled in red for this question, like this. So the simple majority theme has the following question elements. Focus on fish streams that are medium-sized, focusing on water quality goal related to stream temperature, using peer-reviewed science to inform the monitoring study. The overall majority theme says to work in all three georegions on fish streams that are small and medium-sized, focusing on water quality and healthy streamside forest goals related to stream temperature, shade, large wood, and active streamside management, using science from peer-reviewed fish data, status and trend data, streamside and fish habitat, and voluntary measures to inform the monitoring study. The domestic theme is work on all three georegions on domestic streams of all sizes, focusing on water quality goals related to multiple water quality standards, using peer-reviewed science to inform the monitoring study. Holistic theme says work in all three georegions on fish and non-fish streams of all sizes, focusing on water quality and healthy streamside forest goals related to stream temperature, shade, large wood, fish use, and riparian management, active riparian management, using science from peer-reviewed fish data and trend data, streamside fish and habitat, and voluntary measures to inform the monitoring study. And finally, the Siskiyou theme says work in the Siskiyou georegion on fish streams that are small and medium-sized, focusing on the water quality goals related to stream temperature, using peer-reviewed science to inform the monitoring study. So
we
go for it.
Pause. And so what you've gone through is an example and interpretation of the survey dated about best of my understanding. And the sense I'm getting is that there isn't a strong signal. I mean, it depends on a number of elements. Could I think that water quality keeps showing up in all the elements other than the one that's no monitoring. I mean, I'm thinking of direction for the board in terms of what the survey is telling them, or is it just telling them their people are pretty much all over the map?
So the question themes are based on the survey responses, and many of the respondents did did say choose water quality,
right.
But certainly not all.
Right.
And there's different ways of looking at it so that if you look at the first priority, water quality was just slightly higher than healthy streamside forests.
And then if you pull out the highest populations, it flips it.
Yeah, exactly.
And so there, I think that is a takeaway is that, the board is going to have to make the final call on these monitoring questions.
Yes.
Yes.
Thanks. Just any other questions?
Why don't you let us get through our monitoring question builder, Peter?
So we reformulate these question elements into a model question, which is conduct a study to assess the effectiveness of the Forest Practices Act streamtide protection rule in the blank geographic regions on blank stream types and blank stream sizes to meet the blank purpose or goals relating to blank. Utilize research and monitoring data from blank to inform the monitoring study. And then this slide illustrates an example of incorporating the question elements of each theme into the model question. The board will ultimately decide on which monitoring question, if any, the department should address. So for the simple majority theme, it results in the following study objective: conduct a study to assess the effectiveness of Forest Practices Act riparian rules in the Blue Mountains geographic region on fish stream type and medium stream size to meet the water quality protection purpose or goals relating to stream temperature. Utilize research and monitoring data from peer-reviewed research to inform the monitoring study. So next, we move on to the other main aspect of the board decision, the study approach and associated timeline. To inform the board's decision about the approach and timeline, we developed this table, filled in at a course level based on our previous experiences. In the left-hand column are various course study approaches, each of which has estimates of times to complete a study, the number of staff needed to complete it, and the confidence and applicability of the study results. So a literature review would take 6 to 9 months of a staff member working half to three quarters of a time, with a confidence and applicability ranging from low to high. A systematic review would take 12 to 15 months of a staff member working three quarters to full time, with confidence and applicability ranging also from low to high. A light field study would take 18 to 30 months of 1 to 2 staff members working full time, with a confidence and applicability of moderate. And then an intensive field study would take 60 to 180 months of 1 to 4 staff members working full-time with the confidence and applicability of high. We will refine this table tailored to the particular questions in March. Now, there are several important caveats at this point. The timelines are affected by the level of stakeholder involvement and number of topics in georegions. Literature and systematic reviews depend on the sufficient number of high-quality, highly relevant studies. And finally, designing a field study includes a literature review in the process. So Margan will now describe how we organize the information to inform the board's decision-making process.
Chair Imason, State Forester Doherty. For the record, I'm Margan Allen, manager of the Forest Health and Monitoring Unit of the Private Forest Division. To inform the board's decision about which monitoring question to choose, we bring together the GIS analyses presented in July 2017 with the model questions into a decision framework. While the task for your consideration is simple and on its face, it's not simple in practice. Establishing a monitoring question is the beginning of what can be a very long conversation. In practice, it means having the right people in the room to hold that conversation. Who is interested in and potentially affected by the answer to the question? Where and with whom do we look for answers to the question? How do we look for answers? What natural resources are involved? The decision framework and the pending information on the tally of available scientific information to address potential questions are meant to help you select a monitoring question and to understand the human and environmental facets that come with it. In Attachment 1 of your board materials, your decision framework consists of Table 4, which describes the different elements of the model monitoring question, the range of potential monitoring questions found on pages 19 and 20, and Table 5, which brings your question elements and themes together with GIS data. Let's take a look at a graphical representation of Table 5, the bridge between the range of potential monitoring question themes and available GIS data. Before we go there, let's put in perspective the number of harvest activities and associated resources in the georegions you are considering. We presented this chart to you last July. Excuse me. It shows the number of harvest notifications in each georegion that intersect with each FPA stream type, plus streams with anadromous bull trout, which are a subset of fish streams. To the right of the dashed red line are the georegions that are under consideration for this riparian protections review. As expected, there are many more harvest notifications in the georegions excluded from this review. However, note that east of the Cascades, average harvest unit size is about 360 acres, whereas west of the Cascades, including the Siskiyous, it is just under 50 acres. Most of these harvests are partial cuts rather than clear cuts. This chart shows, per monitoring question theme, the comparative scope of land, streams, anadromous streams, total harvest, and clear-cut harvest that would be associated with an investigation of the question. The themes are generally ordered in increasing levels of monitoring question scope and complexity along the bottom of x-axis, from left to right, beginning with the no-action alternative. Note that the darker colors per metric pertain to non-industrial or family forest lands, and the light to industrial forest lands. Also note that the simple vote counting theme shows the multiplier value for each metric, being land in thousands of acres, streams and anadromous streams in hundreds of miles, total harvest and type of harvest in tens of no apps or notifications. And this, you should note, is over a two-year period. Now let's move through the alternatives. Assuming my voice holds out. The no action alternative, of course, proposes no effectiveness. Monitoring takes place in the Siskiyou or Eastern Oregon geographic regions at this time. The relative scope and geographic extent of the simple and Siskiyou monitoring question alternatives is comparable. In either case, only one geographic region would be investigated, the Blue Mountains or Siskiyous. Less than 1,000 miles of streams would be involved, no more than 350 miles of those being associated with anadromous fish. The question will refer to less than 100 harvest notifications every 2 years, and only about a third would propose clear-cut a harvest. In both cases, the monitoring question would focus on water quality, namely stream temperature. The domestic monitoring question theme turns from a purely natural resources focus to a focus on forest practices in providing treatable drinking water through achieving water quality standards. While this alternative has a broader overall geographic context or extent, drawing in all three geographic regions, the total stream miles is small, only about 5 total miles, and involves no fish-bearing or anadromous stream miles. The broader extent of water quality standards to address would add complexity compared to a temperature-centric approach. We are still assessing the number of harvest notifications this could pertain to, though we anticipate this being very small given the associated stream mileage. The overall majority and holistic monitoring questions themes have the broadest scope geographically and by stream miles, pertain to the greatest number of forest harvest operations and become more complex by simultaneously addressing water quality and healthy streamside forest goals. Both would include all three geographic regions and look across all fish-bearing streams of all sizes. The holistic theme has the greatest scope of all the questions by drawing in type N or non-fish-bearing streams, significantly increasing the number of harvest operations that this question would pertain to. It also asks that the response of fish to water quality in streamside forest conditions be considered. We hope that tables 4 and 5 in attachment 1, shown in chart form above, provide helpful decision framework tools for you. In combination with the science tally per monitoring question theme, we aim to lay out for you the trade-offs poised between geographic extent in miles of stream, number and type of harvest operations affected, number of topics investigated, and the time and expense of work. Note that to try to simplify an already complex chart, the number of reported voluntary measures is not displayed. Do you have any questions or comments for us thus far? Probably pretty worn out.
Yeah, I actually just have one question, and that was at the very beginning when you were showing us the survey results example slides, and you had one then that summarized all of your response and one that dropped the private industrial, other, and conservation responses. Why did you do that?
Well, the thinking there, Cindy, was in a sense to remove the majority in order to see what might be the minority vote effectively.
Okay.
Using your terminology, was that, I mean, it's to try to
figure out what everybody else.
Yeah, not, and not allow it to be influenced by ballot stuffing, right? Or at least let us see.
Yeah, effectively. Like we said, we did not go out to do a survey that was a statistically valid sample of the entire population. We were focused on people who were engaged and interested in this process in particular. And knowing that's not, that comes fraught with everything that comes with that, that we wanted to, again, focus on the range of feedback as opposed to, because in a sense, if you took the simple majority, in a way, the outcome is a little bit odd.
Yeah, just curious.
Yeah.
Question.
So if you want, we could share the final slide, which is the next steps, and our report back to you in March before we go into comments. I'll let Terry get there. So we have one more deliverable to bring to you, and that is a tally of the potentially relevant science, which will help to inform your final decision. And this again will be at your March board meeting. And so at your March meeting, we'll present that, and then you'll get to decide on the final monitoring question or not, and the approach and the link time frame for answering that question and moving forward.
Are you going to bring a recommendation?
And yes, there are many components of this that we could easily put together recommendations for you based on some of the patterns and informations that we see, especially when it gets to the tally or the course look at the relevant science. You know, some buckets are going to be 2 or 3 studies and some will have 20. And so, you know, that tells you where you might want to spend some of your time.
Mm-hmm. Could the tally potentially relevant science, where you told me already a little bit, can you just emphasize where you're grabbing that from, where you're getting it from, what are the differences, and how you're defining relevant?
Yes, I'm going to let Terry do that because he's the one doing the tally.
So we did an extensive search of databases and websites and looked at input from stakeholders to get a body of studies that may be relevant. And then we just had a few. This is not saying these are definitely relevant. It's a, well, it looks like it could be. And so we just basically wanted there to be some measuring some of the metrics that would address these questions in forested riparian areas in geographies that were adjacent to Siskiyou or Eastern Oregon. So
that's wonderful. So I'm guessing that so when you say tally as a board member, am I going to get a list of bibliographic references, or and then maybe you'll give us the top 10 on scientific articles to review? Or I'm just wondering, and what kind of information are we going to be able to review? And usually we get the board books about a week ahead. This may be a longer, you know, I may want to have a few more, a little more time to read some of them if you wanted us to. I'm just curious about, you know, how engaged you want us to be in reviewing and offering ideas. I'm not coming at it any particular.
Yeah, sure. Our plan is to bring really a table saying two tables. One table is for these different types of information, peer-reviewed science, gray literature, TMDL, watershed voluntary measures monitoring. How many studies are there in each of the regions that are relevant to the particular topics? So it's not, we're not at a point, you know, so there might be 32 for topic A. How many of those are, you know, if we did a rigorous literature review, how many of those would actually be informative to the monitoring question? It's probably quite a bit less than that.
So at the meeting, the next meeting we have, I mean, what I'm thinking of would probably be a really interesting conversation would be if we're reading some things. I'm not a real scientist, so it'd be nice to sort of say, oh, I noticed this, but, you know, have a little dialogue about, you know, where do you think it's relevant?
Well,
presumably,
okay. As you're sorting these different categories of information into buckets, you've got just a list, a citation of the studies. Perhaps you could just send us that list and we can spend whatever time we want looking at them ahead of time to get a flavor for the quality of the studies that are in the buckets.
If I could back up a little bit here to ground everybody again on where what we're trying to achieve. We have not cracked open the studies because I don't know what my monitoring question is yet.
Right.
So we have a range that we've put in front of you that includes a wide variety of topics. And literally what we're going to say, if you told us to go out and look at all the, say, the simple majority topic, I'd tell you that, I'm going to look at a question and give you an estimated time, an approach, and how much time and resources it would take to do that. In order to do that, I need to, so if I told you, I'm going to promise you a systematic review in the Siskiyou georegion, and then I go out and I look at the science and I go, oh, there's two papers. That doesn't make for much of a systematic evidence review. So we needed to have enough information, literally a count. Is the bucket rattling with a couple things, or is the bucket hard to lift up in order for us to be able to tell you whether or not we have to put boots on the ground right away to answer that question? Or we would be better served by doing a large systematic review because there's a lot of information already available. But the first thing is I need to know what question that we are being asked to answer.
Okay. So you're not going to need us to
no.
be in depth on it. But we will be really interested to see the tally. Okay. And it'll help us sort of think about, okay, well, let's look at this question. We've read any of it 100%, that we know that there might be some conversations there, or if there's another place that doesn't have as much. Why doesn't it have as much? What kind of time would it take to review it more?
Precisely.
And so a part of designing the question is how much time it's going to take and what methods you can use. And if there's no data, then some of the methods are off the table.
Right.
And would affect then the timeline. And so what they're trying to put together is all the information you need to make an informed decision about the question and what it would mean for the timeline and cost.
And you're currently tallying right now? So do you have like a list of what things you've tallied? You know, just like a bibliography?
Yeah, I've got a bibliography with that.
If you could forward, at least to me, I don't know if anybody else is interested, sort of what's the bibliography that you're tallying, I'd like to see that.
Okay.
Who knows, I may.
I'd take a look at it.
Yeah.
I'm a science geek.
Okay.
A couple of science
geeks. But I, you know, I mean, one of the things that I think would be helpful when we get back to this is that we revisit the early part of this presentation and be a lot more clear about why we're doing this. What's our specific motivation? And because that should drive what question we're asking. And I do think that depending on what it is, you know, whether we're concerned that we're not meeting a federal standard, or we're concerned about ESA enlisted population, you know, fish, any type of fish population, anadromous, whatever, or something else, that we're really clear what the concern is that is driving this effort.
Yep.
But I do think, as we've talked about before, that this is going to get a lot more complicated in these fire-dominated landscapes. And there's going to be a lot of different factors at play. I just came back from the Rocky Mountain Research Station and visited with them about a whole range of studies around watershed hydrology and forest stand density and dynamics and water quality related to fire. You know, the pollutants that are affecting the Denver watershed from the Hayman fire are still there 15 years after that fire. Trying to figure out what we're trying to do, what relevant thing we need to look at is I think important to then guide the monitoring question. I think we got to be incredibly careful in, my region is obviously the East Side, but the East Side, in 30 years, lost 90% of its mills. It's lost a huge number of its contractors, and the margins that private landowners are operating on in the East Side are extremely challenging. My very first encounter with these issues was under Governor Kulongowski, when he asked me to chair the East Side Forest Advisory Panel, and the whole focus was, how do we keep working forests, private land working forests, viable. And that challenge is even greater today than when that panel was first convened. So I hope all of those pieces are woven together, and that we're really careful about how we move forward on this. And we're really clear that there is a real need for us to expend a lot of resources in. Now, let me back up and say, I'm always in favor of trying to stay in front of a problem. So I'm not, I want us to do monitoring so that we can be adaptive and we can be that we're not just reacting to some new federal pressure, right? That we can stay ahead of that, and we can continue to advance the best possible forest practices through the state of Oregon. But I think we need to be careful. That I don't think this presentation laid out, and I realize it references previous board decisions, but I think it's good that we revisit that and make sure we understand why we set off on this journey.
So if I could, Nils, Lita started off referencing a specific rule which directs the department that monitoring the effectiveness of the riparian protections is basically a set expectation for the department to do. That's actually just one example. There's also expectations that are set for pesticides, monitoring, landslide, and public safety, and then much more general goals and statute and policy.
We're just following statute, that's fine. I mean, I'm okay with that, but I'm not sure that where we ended up with the riparian rules, where there was clearly a federal driver to comply with the protection of cold water standard, right? That doesn't naturally translate to the rest of this work. And I think we need to set a clear division, right? What are we trying to do now in these other regions that is different than what we did before?
Well, yeah, and so I would correct you a little bit. We were trying to meet state law or the
state implementation
of right. federal yeah. law, and the board's responsibility is to ensure the forest practice rules are meeting the water quality standards of the Environmental Quality Commission. But you're right, correct. Once we finish with the riparian rules, I don't know if you and decided not to apply them to the Siskiyous, and it opens up the question, are we meeting the biologically based criteria? Is that what you're interested in? Is it temperature? Is it water quality? Or again, that's what we're trying to get at from the board. What are you really interested in finding out? Is it fish? Is it riparian health? Those are all the things that are on the table that in order for staff to be effective, need to direct us to say, where do you think the issue really lies? And what should we be monitoring to make sure our rules are effective and that we're staying ahead and moving forward? So that, yeah, does that make
sense? I almost think that we go back to where we were at the staff retreat, and that I think that the staff here are much better positioned to provide a recommendation about the best focus, notwithstanding the expertise around the table, but I think they're the best positioned people to do that. And I do think, as I mentioned, I think at the staff retreat or maybe the November meeting, certainly in the Blue Mountains, the fisheries department of the tribes, the state, ODF&W, Fish and Wildlife Service, NOAA Fisheries, BPA, a whole bunch of people are working on a whole range of limiting factors for our watersheds. And so there's a lot of work that's already been done. And I know, in particular for the areas that I'm most working in, I'm not hearing from them that forest practices are a big cause of concern for the various aquatic values that they are trying to manage. So I think that's all good information for us.
Yeah, on the other hand, I am hearing that down in Southwest.
You're hearing that about the Rogue?
Yeah, down in the Rogue, I am hearing that.
Okay. Yeah, so at this time, I do want to introduce you to Joe Justice. He is a member from your Eastern Oregon Regional Forest Practices Advisory Committee. I'm really excited to have him come here today from La Grande and represent the Eastern Oregon Committee. They have not had too many opportunities really to engage with you, so I'm pleased that they wanted to engage on this topic. And Joe is also the Eastern Oregon Forest Protective Association Chair, so dual roles here.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Lena.
You're welcome.
Chairman Imeson, State Forester Doherty, members of the board, I'll be brief. You have an opinion, a couple opinions in front of you from your Eastern Oregon Regional Forest Practice Committee, and I'm here representing them. It's been almost 1 year since the Eastern Oregon Regional Forest Practice Committee submitted information to the Board of Forestry related to stream monitoring. Because of the length of time which has passed, our committee felt it prudent to address the board on this important topic. The department completed a survey and has analyzed the results, which you guys have been talking about, and we'll continue to discuss. Several written comments were received, and both Cascade Siskiyou's and Eastern Oregon Regional Forest Practice Committees offered input. The board will soon make a decision about monitoring of Eastern Oregon streams. The committee recognizes the importance of adaptive management process for monitoring forest practices rules. It is an important part of determining the effectiveness of those rules. We also recognize the significant effort and costs that will likely be incurred by the department to adequately conduct any monitoring program across such a large and diverse landscape as Eastern Oregon. Before you make the final decision about what to monitor, please consider the following. The current stream rules adopted in 1994 intended to move riparian areas over time to a desired future condition. Many streams in Eastern Oregon at the time of the current rules in 1994 were deficient in many desirable attributes of a healthy functioning riparian area. And growth rates are much slower in Eastern Oregon, and it was recognized that it would take many years to move streams to a desired future condition. Any monitoring must consider the slow nature of change and importance of management in Eastern Oregon riparian areas. Active management inside riparian areas has been an extremely effective tool to move streams towards a desired future condition. What criterion the board selects to monitor will be critical. Using only one or even two criteria to monitor, such as temperature or shade, without considering all the various attributes needed for a functioning riparian system would be a mistake, and worse yet, could lead to rulemaking that could negatively impact riparian resources. Any monitoring should be a holistic approach, which created the rules and was reaffirmed in 2001 by the Eastside Riparian Function Advisory Committee. If monitoring is determined to be needed, the following questions should be considered. Do the current rules create a vigorously structurally diverse forest with a broad range of tree species and size over time? Do the rules encourage management practices that create an understory of shrubs and herbs? Are fish and wildlife resources benefiting from the current standards? Is water quality and hydraulic function being protected or enhanced? It is truly a functioning system that brings the most benefit to riparian areas. The committee is confident the current stream rules adopted in 94 and reviewed in 2001 have been effective to improve riparian function in Eastern Oregon. We are confident that monitoring, if done correctly and by evaluating the streams holistically, will validate this opinion. Because of the size and tremendous diversity within the Eastern Oregon region, the board should give careful consideration to the size, scope, and resulting cost of any monitoring effort. We hope that you'll consider this comment and review the previously submitted letter before making a monitoring decision in Eastern Oregon. And most importantly, we look forward to the opportunity to continue to assist the board in this important endeavor. Thank you.
Gary Skurlock.
Good evening, Mary Skurlock for the Oregon Stream Protection Coalition. I apologize that my DayQuil wore off about 3 hours ago. So thank you for taking up this subject again. I think you know some of what I'm going to say, and I want you to know that I'm not opposed to monitoring parameters, qualities of riparian areas other than the protecting cold water criterion or that which it may take to meet temperature load allocations. However, I think that it gives me great pause to see the extreme effort we've gone to evaluate survey information in a way to make it look more scientific or something, when I'm really not clear how this is going to help you all come to a rational decision. I think it is important to lay out the responses we got by stakeholder group. And if you all march down a path that nobody thought was important, well, then we're going to have a problem. But I don't see a way to have that different ways of massaging the survey information lead you to where you need to go exactly. I think it may be helpful and to each of you in different ways, but I myself am pretty confused by the display of the information, and frankly was confused in taking the survey. So how we came up with the categories. So I would like for you all to consider that the reason to consider compliance with water quality standards as your priority is because under the Forest Practices Act, a state law, you have provided assurance that these water quality standards will be met by the rules that you implement and in fact have shielded landowners from prosecution for water quality standards violations. And on the east side in particular, we have not checked to see if that is the case. And with all due respect to those who claim that we're meeting water quality standards over there, I see no evidence of that. And so we need to check. And about 5.5 years ago, when we went to do the scientific evidence review, and a number of us, including board member Williams, asked, could we please include dry forest literature in that, at least generate a list of relevant literature to stream temperature, and we didn't do it. And so here we are 6 years later, almost 10 years since this board heard the results of the Ripstream study, with what I see as a strong presumption that the rules we have in place are not working. I know we don't have evidence from sites on the east side because we chose not to collect those data. We don't have sites in the Siskiyou because we chose not to collect those data. And I think it had something to do, respectfully, to Member Christofferson's sensitivities to a fairly large number of fairly small forest landowners in an economically challenged part of the state. We didn't really want to know the answer, but we haven't explored it, and it's the duty of this board to do that. So it looks to me like a dereliction of duty if we don't address the Siskiyou and the east side and ask the question that the nose is under the camel's tent with the Ripstream study. We've got to ask, are these, in what ways do the laws of physics differ in these regions? And then we can look at that and say, what are we going to do about it? If we decide we don't want to do anything about it for economic or other reasons, then we do that in the light of day, but not prejudge that we don't want to do something because we're afraid of finding out something that we don't want to know. So I'm frustrated, but I'm also glad that we're getting to the point where in March, I think we do need to put a question on the table. I urge everyone to work with their constituencies to come to something. If it includes examination of the PCW on only small and medium streams in the Siskiyou, Blue Mountains, and Eastern Oregon, I'll be happy. I'd be very glad to examine other parameters. I want to. I just am not confident that we have the resources. I keep hearing that we don't. So I'm looking to triage. And frankly, from an adaptive management point of view, I need to go with the things that the board has the clearest performance standard to meet, because we don't have what is a healthy riparian area? Where is the measurable performance target? In fact, maybe we should be doing our monitoring study to make sure that we have that. And I know we have that queued up on DFC and large wood and some of those other things. The question about riparian management and in fire-dominated landscapes is something that it's a question that's coming up all over the West as climate changes, and folks are saying, well, you know what, we need another riparian function that we think about in riparian areas that has to do with resilient forest stands and this kind of thing. But that's something that I think is maybe not going to be able to be addressed through blanket forest practices regulations and needs a separate overlay. I hope we have that conversation in the department, but when it comes to meeting the water quality standards duty, I think it's fairly clear that we have to we need to address the protecting cold water criterion. So I'm just going to hand out a couple of maps that I happen to run across that show there are substantial private forest lands in the Blue Mountains, some of which overlap with salmon, steelhead, and bull trout streams, and they're somewhere between 2 and 3 million acres. I'm not exactly sure, but it's not nothing. And I also invite you to look at Google Earth sometime and see that we may not be clear-cutting West Side style exactly, but we're hitting some of these lands pretty hard. And the slow regrowth that we've just talked about and the hot temperatures, I fear for these fish. And look at bull trout recovery plans, 303D lists, TMDLs, a lot of indication that we have stream temperature issues. So I hope I'm wrong, but that's the world that we see. So thank you very much.
I appreciate, Mary, I really appreciate your comments. And I would, the only thing I think you mischaracterized was my own position in that I've been there for 19 years. I work very closely with the tribes, with ODF&W, the Fish and Wildlife Service, with NOAA.
with a lot of people that have been engaged in the types of watershed restoration, riparian restoration work that Joe Justice described. I've seen the results on the ground, and I know that conditions have been improving over the 18, 19 years that I've been there, and I think every one of the fish biologists that we work with closely would attest to that. Are there still problems? Sure, there are still problems. Is there a committed effort by a whole range of state and federal and private and tribal entities to address those problems and identify discreetly what the problems are and how to respond to them? Yes, there are. That's the way we've been doing things for 20 plus years there. And so I think there's a need to recognize that as well. The other dynamic that is challenging for us is that all of the uplands, the source of these waters, are pretty much all federal lands. And the conditions of those federal lands then influence the condition of the water flowing into the private land area. And often, where there are areas with TMDL issues, with water temperature issues, they're coming out of the federal lands or even coming straight out of the wilderness, already exceeding those values. So how do we address those types of conditions? And then there are the anomalies that we've spoken about before. I think you and I have spoken about that before, which is something that it is worthy of study, and that the best performing native steelhead population in Northeast Oregon is in Joseph Creek, which is listed as exceeding the temperature standards, and trying to understand what is happening in that system and how are the fish then adapting to a system that appears to be too warm for them. These all become very complicated factors that just require a different, I think, approach and a different level of effort to share perspectives and ideas that I think are different than sort of just a blind look at water temperature standards. So,
all right.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Does
anybody
have
any questions for the first half?
No.
Then I think we're adjourned.